This is Ashley Hodge with Sikkim 365, and I'm recording our third basketball preseason podcast with Kendall Cowd of Our Daily Bears. And so, Kendall, first of all, thank you for doing this again. We've been getting great feedback, and you know, you and I are just basketball addicts, so I love talking hoops with you. So we've got some things to talk about today. We've had a preseason all-conference team come out for the Big 12, and we also have the preseason rankings from 1 through 10. So let's start with the all-conference team. Tristan Clark made the first team. Any comments on those five selections off the top of your head?
I didn't really have any. It's one of those deals where I have no problem with the guys that made it.
Right.
I think there were some that would be better selections, but I'm not offended by anybody. Desmond Bane was probably the one that stuck out most to me, the TCU guy. We talked about, I think, last time, Ashley, where we're both in agreement that he's going to have to shoot 25 times a game. So his counting stats at the end of the year are going to be pretty great. So
right.
You can understand how he makes it. If it were me, I probably would have put Jared Butler on the team or Xavier Sneed on the team over Desmond Bane. But I don't take much of an issue with that. Kind of what's your take on the first team, Ashley?
Yeah, I agree with that. I wouldn't put Desmond Bane on the first team. You know, I think that he will score quite a bit, but I think his efficiency is not going to be great. You know, he's got short arms. And you know me, I'm a wingspan matters guy.
Yep.
You know, I will say that if you don't have wingspan, you better have a lot of core strength, and he does have that. But he doesn't have the type of agility that a Jared Butler has, in my opinion. And so I think that Jared Butler would be a better selection. Of course, that's a very biased thing to say. We all have a man crush on Jared Butler for what he did for Baylor last year. But, you know, I think I would have chosen Jared Butler personally over Desmond Bane. And, you know, I do think Xavier Sneed, you can make a strong argument for him. But overall, you know, I think those selections were no surprise. That's about how I thought it would go. So it was Tyrese Halliburton, Udoka Azubuike, Devon Dotson, Desmond Bane, and Tristan Clark, right?
Yep, and I don't think you can take really any issue with Clark Halliburton, who
right.
had a really good run at the U19 team. Udoka Azubuike was the preseason player of the year. He wouldn't have been my pick, but he was pretty dominant the 2 years he's had a full season to play, if you count the 2 years he played a half year. So not a huge issue with any of them, besides I think Bane was probably a little bit of a reach, but with how they treated TCU in the overall poll, it's at least nice they got something going for him.
I'm not the biggest Tyrese Halliburton fan. I think he's a nice player. I don't think he's all Big 12 first team good. You know, there's guys that off the top of my head that I think are more going to be more impactful from an overall standpoint. And I think the reason I say that is because in my mind, I just remember him shirking a little bit from the fight when Baylor played them, like especially in Ames. I think he only ended up with one rebound. He was kind of tentative. He was a freshman, you know, but you didn't see many games like that from Jared Butler. Jared Butler was very competitive in every game he played. So, you know, I do have a little bit of an issue with Halliburton. I think I would have chosen Sneed over Halliburton. And even guys like Christian Doolittle at Oklahoma, you know, I think is a really good player. I think you can, you know, choose some of the guys from Oklahoma State. You know, Lindy Waters, you know, would be a guy that I think is going to, you know, be probably their best player, you know, on paper. McGriff. I don't know. I think when all said and done, I'll be surprised if Tyrese Halliburton's a first-team All-Big 12 player, and I'll be surprised if Desmond Bane is a first-team All-Big 12 player. I guess I'll just leave it at that.
That's a fair take. I think that Halliburton's big question will be that he was the fourth option last year when they had Mariel Shayok, Lindell Wigginton, and Tetlin Horton Tucker, and his shot does take a really long time. And so Iowa State's getting a little bit of love in some of these preseason polls. So if he doesn't have a real good year after the summer he had, then he probably won't be a first-teamer.
Right. And, you know, and there's always – I think you're going to see the same thing with Moretti at Texas Tech. There is something to be said when you are the fourth option for a scouting report, and now all of a sudden you're the first option. You know, that doesn't always translate to great success. I mean, we've seen that time and time again where guys who had great sophomore years – don't necessarily have great junior years or senior years because of that very fact that, you know, if you're the primary focus of a scouting report, then it's going to be tougher to score. And if you can't create your own offense, then, you know, you're going to have some issues. Now, I do think Tyrese Halliburton can create his own offense pretty well. I have a little bit more questions about Bane in that area. But anyways, that's just my thoughts. And, you know, we'll see how it plays out over the year. And I will say that coming off an injury, I don't know if Tristan Clark is going to be all Big 12 good either. I think right now, given the fact that Tristan Clark's coming off that injury, that if I were going to say who's going to be Baylor's most valuable player, I would probably say Jared Butler is going to be Baylor's most valuable player.
And he's the safe selection in that kind of process. We know, even with some of the questions about who else will start now that Kegler's gone, I think we all feel very confident Jared Butler is going to get a lot of minutes. With how good Freddie Gillespie was at the end of the year, with Mark Vidal's ability to play the five, they can ease Tristan Clark into some games.
Right.
So if we get to the end of the year and you really need counting stats for the folks that look at efficiency numbers and say, well, Desmond Bane might have shot 38% from the field, but my God, he scored 26 points a game.
Right.
A guy like Jared Butler, who might drop 15-plus every night in November, is going to have a pretty big edge.
Yeah, I agree. And when I say that, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Tristan Clark. Don't get me wrong. I think Tristan's terrific, and I think his upside is huge, and I hope he has a banner junior year. But, you know, I just worry about guys coming off injuries and how – you know, sometimes it takes 3 months or 4 months for them to really kind of reach their level of play that you're accustomed to. I guess that's my point.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about the preseason rankings. And I was a little surprised that Baylor was picked second. I thought the glow over Texas Tech would be strong enough to pick them second. But some things came off that glow this past week. Did you happen to notice the exhibition game against UTEP, Kendall?
I was made aware of that result, Ashley.
So for those that don't know, Texas Tech played an exhibition game against UTEP. UTEP was 8-21 last year, and Texas Tech was really never in this game. UTEP handled them pretty easily. And the thing that's kind of scary for Texas Tech is that they played their starters, their main five guys, heavy minutes. Like, you know, most of those guys played 30-plus minutes. Moretti, Jamius Ramsey, Kyler Edwards, Chris Clark, and then TJ Holyfield, those two grad transfers. So they went all in to try to win that game, and they did not shoot well at all. And their defense wasn't that great either. UTEP kind of carved them up on the offensive end as well. So, you know, that's their second loss in the preseason. They also took a loss to some Caribbean national team, you know, that's – had a you know, bunch of marginal college players on it, I'm sure, you know, during their exhibition tour. So, you know, those are two losses that probably should send off alarm bells. But I think, you know, the nation still believes that Chris Beard has this magic wand that you just roll out the balls and they're going to win, you know, 30 games. And so we'll see if that's going to be the case or not this year.
No, and I simply do not get this philosophy. I had people arguing with me a little bit on Twitter because I now think after that result against UTEP that Texas Tech might be a little overrated in this poll. I think Texas is better than them.
Yeah.
And the problem that Texas Tech has is everybody's like, well, they lost Keenan Evans, Zaire Smith, and Zach Smith, and look at what Chris Beard and Mark Adams were able to do the next year.
Right.
And I'm just like, well, who on Texas Tech's current roster do you believe is capable of becoming the second or third best player in the country like Jarrett Culver did?
Right.
Even the wildest partisans in Italy do not believe that Davide Moretti is the third best college basketball player.
Yeah.
I was only in Paris this summer, so I don't know. I know, Ashley, you were in Italy. I don't know if you were even able to, you know, walk the streets of Rome if the Moretti hype train is just too high. But I don't understand kind of what the case is for Texas Tech just being good every year. It was like Jarrett Culver was recruit 312, and he suddenly was amazing.
Right.
This sometimes happens in football and basketball where you land a recruit, you get a little lucky. You have to be very good, like Chris Beard certainly is and his lead assistant Mark Adams is, to hit on guys like that and make them happen. But in a league like the Big 12, where I think, what, 9 of the coaches have played in at least the Elite Eight, it's pretty crazy to just think that every year Chris Beard's going to find a 2-star guy and be dominant. I mean, Jamius Ramsey does not look as good as Jarrett Culver does right now. And so I don't understand kind of what the path is to Texas Tech being a top-5 team again. They don't have Brandon Francis. Matt Mooney, although he was very inefficient, was just an absolute monster defensively. And so these people that just think Texas Tech's a top 10 team, I don't know where they're from.
Right.
I don't know why they believe what they do, but I don't trust them.
Right. You know, Jameis Ramsey, I think he's a nice player. I've seen him a lot in the AAU circuit, and I don't want to detract from him because he's going to be a terrific freshman. He was picked freshman of the year in the Big 12. We'll see. You know, I there's a lot of good freshmen that you can make arguments for. But I will say that...
And Ashley, I actually think Oscar T might have been the freshman of the year.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, you're right. I'm thinking about C.J. Moore's article. He may have picked Jameis Ramsey as the freshman of the year.
I think you're right about that, yep.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so thanks for the correction. So, but, you know, Oscar T is probably the guy I would pick also. The thing about Ramsey, he got a lot of comparisons to Marcus Smart. He plays with a terrific motor. He's not Marcus Smart. He's not as good as Marcus Smart. I'll say that right now. He's a good player. He's a borderline five-star recruit. You know, high four-star guy. I think he probably deserves that. He's got a mature body, but he doesn't have that it factor that Marcus Smart. He doesn't play as hard as Marcus Smart did, and so. I think he's going to struggle with turnovers. I think he's going to struggle with decision-making. We're seeing that early. So we'll see if Chris Beard can, a.k.a. John Wooden Jr., can kind of correct some of those issues and get him on the right track. And those grad transfers, Chris Clark, I think, is going to be, a really good player for them. He was a good player at Virginia Tech. He's kind of a proven guy. T.J. Holyfield has not looked, according to the stats, and I'm only going by stats, but he doesn't really look as good as he did 2 years ago at SFA. So, I think they've got issues. I would definitely pick them below five in the Big 12, and I think that being picked third is pretty generous. Kansas number one, the unanimous number one team. And, Baylor, of course, number two. Texas was number four. Do you think that was – I mean, that's kind of – we talked about that on the last podcast that we thought, I guess both of us thought they may be the third best team in the Big 12 this year.
Yes, and that would certainly be my pick now. When I look at the Longhorn roster, I think that Luke Yaklich was a really good addition for Shaka. And I think it's a great sign if you're Shaka and the way you won at VCU was the – havoc defense that he ran for so long that he's willing to adjust and say, well, the guys I've recruited now I think could be really good in this system. So I just think that that's a good sign from Shaka what he did. I think he's kind of against the wall. I think Texas is going to be good. As much as I think they're overrated every year in football, I think we might have finally entered a world where Texas is underrated at something, and basketball-wise, I think they are.
Yeah, their guards are good. I guess the big question is, how good is their front court going to be? I mean, I'm hopeful as a Baylor fan and a Baylor supporter that Tristan Clark, Freddie Gillespie, Mark Vidal is going to be far superior to what Texas puts forth. They're young front court players. And so, hopefully that gives Baylor the edge and Baylor can continue their dominance over Shaka Smart. It's been very one-sided, much like Scott Drew and Steve Prohm. It's been a pretty one-sided affair in the last few years. But, I do think that the one thing about Texas is they've never really attacked a zone well. Maybe Shaka, as he continues to get experience, will be better in that area. But that zone that Baylor plays is just giving them fits in past years. Now they did have better success last year, both in Waco and in Austin. But it wasn't a typical Baylor zone. We played a lot more man-to-man last year. Didn't have the rim defenders that we'll have this year with Freddie and Tristan. West Virginia, what you think fifth is? You think that's a fair pick there?
I think that's a little high, and they're a tough team to figure out. Kind of the Torvik rankings have all these teams bunched up together.
Right.
I don't know. It kind of depends on how good you think Oscar T is going to be right away. He is sort of a man's man, if you will, the nonsensical way of saying he's a tough guy. And then they probably can press yet again next season, so maybe that's enough to get West Virginia back into contention. But I don't know. I'm just not quite seeing it. I don't know that they have enough talent top to bottom. This was a really, really bad team a year ago, and it's not like they brought in Kentucky's recruiting class to overcome it. So although they finished the year looking like a better team until they didn't do so well in their postseason weird abbreviation tournament.
Yeah.
I don't know that I see West Virginia as the fifth best team in the league. How do you peg them, Ashley?
Yeah, that 5 through 9. Well, really, I don't consider Texas Tech a top four team. So I would say, really, if you move Texas into the third spot, I would say Kansas, Baylor, Texas, 1, 2, 3, and then I would say Texas Tech, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Oklahoma, Kansas State. That is one big muddled mess for me. I don't really know who to pick where. I guess initially I would think Iowa State would be closer to the bottom. I'm surprised Kansas State was picked number 9. You know, and maybe that's just the bias of Bruce Weber having so much success against Baylor in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. But I think they're going to be a tough out. I'd be surprised if they finish 9th. And, you know, I think Oklahoma's got a chance to really be better than 8th also. You know, so I don't know. I'm going to be wishy-washy on this. I just don't know where to pick West Virginia. Too many unknowns. They showed some good things at the end of the year last year. They obviously played Baylor very competitively in Waco. And then they, you know, really surprised that incredible Texas Tech team in the Big 12 tournament. And, you know, it looks like, you know, Texas Tech, as good as their defense was, had no answer for Matthews. Matthews just lit them up for 30-something points, if I remember right, or close to that. So I don't know, you know, they're an interesting team. You know, we know they're going to play hard. Huggins is gritty. They play scrappy. You know, and they got some big guys that they can go to war with. And so I think it's going to be more bully ball for them. You know, there was a question asked at the Scott Drew dinner last night, which one of the guys said, "How are you going to break West Virginia's press?" And Scott Drew said, "Well, I feel really good about our ability to break pressure this year because we have really good ball handlers, good wings, but we have two guards and Jared Butler and Davion Mitchell that are terrific ball handlers and terrific passers. And so teams that pressure us, we hope to make them pay for that." And, you know, and I think if you look around the league, I would say Texas is kind of in that boat, maybe Kansas. We'll see about Kansas in their guard play. But West Virginia may have a lot of success against these other teams because the guard play is going to take a step down this year. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Kansas State loses Barry Brown and Cam Stokes. I think Cardi D is a real good player who can step in for them. And on the Drew point you mentioned, Ashley, about how he felt confident about Baylor being able to handle West Virginia's press this year, I think a good example of Baylor being successful against press Virginia was that 2015 season.
Right.
When they had Kenny Cherry and Lester Medford, two dual point guards in the lineup.
And Royce. And Royce is a terrific ball handler also. Yep.
Absolutely. And so they won all three games, including the one in the Big 12 tournament against West Virginia, and pounded them pretty handily in Morgantown that season.
Yep.
And so this year's squad, where we feel pretty solid in the belief that Jared Butler and Davion Mitchell will start, and that Macy Oteague, Devontae Bandu can really handle the ball. And even Mark Vidal is your 4/5 as a guy who, if he gets pressed, can grab the ball, beat Oscar T, or whoever's going to be defending him, off the dribble for a second and reset the offense. So the 2017 team that I think had like 32 turnovers when they went into Morgantown ranked number 1, not going to happen probably for this iteration of the Bears. So if you wonder about, hey, how does Baylor make up for the losses they might take at home, where Kansas might go 9-0, given the institutional advantages Allen Fieldhouse bestows each season upon the Jayhawks, one way might be that KU could lose a game in Morgantown, and Baylor is more likely, I think, to beat West Virginia twice.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, looking down at the guard play of these other teams, Oklahoma, I think they'll be a little better at the guard position. You know, Davion Harmon's a good ball handler, very strong with the ball. I'd say he's a lot like Davion Mitchell. He's just 2 years younger, and those 2 years make a big difference. When you're a freshman, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. It's you know, there's going to be some growing pains there. But then they got Jamal Bienemy, and then they got Austin Reeves from Wichita State, who I was pretty impressed with when he came to Waco a couple years ago. Oklahoma State has experienced guards, you know, likely can handle the ball really well. You know, so Giagua is not a great ball handler, but, you know, Lindy Waters is good in that area. Avery Anderson, you know, should be a impact freshman for them. Texas Tech, I think, is going to take a big step back in their ability to break pressure and their guard play. I wouldn't have any confidence in Moretti, you know, being your primary ball handler. Kyler Edwards, I would suspect is going to be your guy. And then we've already talked about Ramsey, who's got some turnover issues. So, yeah, just looking up and down the Big 12, I do think, you know, West Virginia, if they press this year, is going to be more suited to kind of move up the rankings because the guard play is not going to be as good. But Baylor is one of those teams, and Texas is one of those teams that should be able to make them pay.
I agree with that. Oklahoma State's the team in that range that scares me the most because their offense is so good. Last year, Baylor won that game in Stillwater behind King McClure going crazy, and Oklahoma State went just about as crazy and nearly was able to win that game despite McClure's exceptional shooting day.
Right.
And so last year, they still have McGriff, Lindy Waters, and the rest of the gang back. But they just had no depth after a lot of their guys really enjoyed breaking into cars, allegedly. And so with a full roster, Mike Boynton brought in six freshmen. If those guys only need to play 28 to 32 a night instead of 40, I think they'll be a lot more efficient team. And so that's a team that concerns you because in Waco or in Stillwater, they might shoot 35 threes, and one of those nights they might hit 20 of them. And so you hope that just kind of with the way luck goes that if they're going to hit 20, it happens in Allen Fieldhouse. It doesn't happen in the Farrell Center.
Yeah, and you look at the good shot blockers in the league. Tristan Clark's obviously going to be in that conversation. Udoka Azubuki's going to be in that conversation. Culver and Oscar T. But Yori from Oklahoma State is a terrific shot blocker. And, you know, he's a guy, when you have that rim defender, if he can stay out of foul trouble, if he's gained some strength in the offseason, I liked him a lot. I think he's a really good big man prospect. He showed a lot, especially in Waco. He played terrific in that game where they beat Baylor, that miserable senior night. You know, it was a pretty bad effort from the Bears, but he played really well. And obviously no one could stop Likely either. Man, he torched us off the dribble. So, yeah, they've got a team that I definitely have some respect for. They're going to be tough to beat. Well, you know, so we've talked about that. Or anything else on your mind? Any other hot takes on TCU? You want to double down on how bad they're going to be?
I like to think through kind of every angle to any situation. And again, without getting political, but using a political example, the thing that I always go back to, and I was young at the time, was the disastrous decision by the U.S. to invade Iraq. And I supported it at the time, so I got to live with my support of the Iraq war. But I think my lesson from that is, how could you get something so wrong that's a major issue? And when I look at TCU, I try and look through it through every angle to see how could I be wrong? How could this team be better? And I just don't see it. I see no path to success for this team absent a team above them getting either suspended, shut down, or multiple guys that are talented quitting.
Right.
Absent one of those three scenarios, it's not happening for TCU. Like, even if Tristan Clark and Jared Butler both decide to quit basketball, Baylor's going to finish very near the bottom of that poll. But they're going to finish above TCU still. Like, that's how catastrophic I think things are in Fort Worth this season. This is the worst non-TCU team I think we've had in the Big 12 since the league went to 10 teams. I don't think there's been a worse non-TCU team in that time period. Only other TCU teams will rival this TCU team in futility.
Yeah, I mean, you look at West Virginia and all the terrible events that they had last year. Just a complete roster depletion, but still they managed to be a very respectable team that, you know, knocked off John Wooden Jr. in the Big 12 tournament. So, that's an example of a team that wheels came off. But I agree, on paper TCU should be worse than that West Virginia team last year. So that it's going to be tough sledding for them. And they finished about as in the you know coaches poll. They got 11 votes total, so pretty much everybody voted them 10th, except for one brave soul voted them 9th. You know, so that's you know something to take note of there. Or no, maybe two, right? Two, because Jamie Dixon would have to abstain from the voting. Is that right?
He would, but I don't know who would have voted them 9th. I just don't know who got their poll and thought this team's 9th. I don't know. Maybe
Shaka. I mean, because he's not the brightest guy in the world, right?
It's possible with Shaka. I wonder if Bruce Weber, because I don't think K-State has any business being picked 9th in this league.
Right.
If somebody, maybe Bruce Weber was just a jerk at some hotel ballroom this summer, didn't conference in until like 10 minutes later, Or maybe they just realized Bruce Weber likes to have a chip on his shoulder, and so as a favor to Bruce, they said, yeah, we'll pick you ninth, even though we think you're the sixth best team in the league.
Yeah, that's. I mean, Baylor was picked ninth last year and obviously finished a lot higher than that. So there will be some surprises. We know that. It's always fun to look at these preseason polls and then to go back at the end of the year and to see how teams underperformed or, you know, over exceeded expectations. And, you know, it's going to be tough for Baylor to exceed expectations because the expectations are already high. But as we've talked about, if things fall right for them, we do think that this has the DNA of a Final Four national championship caliber team. You know, Drew talked about this last night, that the past five or six national champions all had really two point guards playing together. You know, and you look at Virginia last year, you look at Villanova, those Villanova teams, you know, having two really good ball handlers that can shoot is a big, big luxury. I hear Davion Mitchell shooting the ball extremely well so far in scrimmages. Now, Baylor plays LSU and Houston this Saturday, so hopefully some information will leak out about that, and we can kind of see how they match up against a terrific backcourt. You know, LSU's got Javonte Smart. They've got Skylar Mays. I forget the five-star freshman that they have coming in, but they've got a five-star freshman that's supposed to be a pro on the front court. So that's going to be a big challenge. LSU's kind of picked in that, you know, 15 to 25 range in most of the polls. So that'll be a really big challenge for Baylor to see how they match up against them. But much, much bigger challenge than the team like UTEP that finished 8-21 in Conference USA last year. And I kid a little bit. I know UTEP's a lot better than that. You know, Chris Beard himself said that he thinks they're a top four, three or four team in the Conference USA. A very formidable conference. I guess that's all I really had to talk about. Do you have any other parting thoughts before we sign off?
I think that's probably the extent of my takes for right now. We'll probably have some more hot takes before too long, but for now, I think understandable Baylor was picked second, but I'm on the record saying Baylor will not finish second in the Big 12. They're going to win it.
Well, I agree, and it's, you know, I hope that's the case, and as I often say, you can't go 40-0, 42-0, whatever it's going to be, until you go 5-0. Baylor's already taken care of these four European foreign tour games, and now it's time to put a nod on LSU, and then A&M, and then if they run the table, that is the path to a national championship. It is statistically impossible to not win a national championship if you win every game. So let's just hope for that outcome.
Heck yeah.
All right, Sick'em Bears. Thank you, Kendall.
Yep, Sick'em. Thanks, Ashley.
Have a good night.